Good morning. It is May the 5th. Happy Cinco de Mayo, Revenge of the 5th, or whatever holiday you want to celebrate. Joining us today for Talk Shop is Brian and one of the tax preparers in our area, Bill McCauley.
No, not one of the. So happy Taco Tuesday, Bill.
yeah, it's kind of Taco Tuesday and Cinco de Mayo lined up, and then it's all fouled up. Just not
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you know what? As long as there's guacamole involved, we're okay.
Yeah. There may have been a run on avocados. Who knows?
Yeah. I guess that's one of the side benefits of being trapped here at the house is I get to see some of those goofy avocado commercials. I don't know who their production house is, but they do a fine job on their television commercials, and I don't say that on a regular basis about anybody. So, Winston, you want to hit us with our stump question for the morning?
Puppy. Where does the word puppy come from? I chose it because you've got puppy. Two relatively large ones with you at home, I believe.
Yeah, now they're outside with your brother. Gee, I have no clue. Puppy. Maybe it was a pet name for somebody. How's that? I don't know.
I apologize for my French pronunciation here. It's from the French word poupée, meaning doll. By extension, it means any sort of a plaything, including a young dog.
Yeah, right. Maybe it would have been best just not to even guess on this one, huh?
Well, it's a family radio show, so we'll just let it go.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So how's life treating you here the last time we talked? We didn't talk, and the time before that, you were in the 6-week countdown to tax preparations, and then things changed a little bit. What's current status out there, Bill, for some of the different challenges and the changes that at least in your world?
Well, obviously, when things hit in March and we began to make changes in a lot of things societally, it affected tax preparation too. And that one of the things that happened is the filing deadlines began to be moved, and it was kind of an interesting time in March because every day something else was changing. So, you know, it was one of those things where whatever you knew was getting repealed on a day-by-day basis. And so it was very difficult to say, well, this is where we're going, because you could see, I think we're still moving in a direction. There was a continued relaxation kind of in an incremental process for filing dates and payment dates. And all those things kind of ultimately settled out on July 15th. So the old April 15th crunch deadline kind of softened up this year, and we ended up with a very, very soft April 15th in terms of the what was required to be done. It was very strange to walk out and not be worried about getting extensions and making sure all the payments were made and everything had been e-filed by the April 15th due date, when it was no longer really subject to those requirements. So it was kind of a it was kind of a paradigm shifter, you know, in terms of what we're used to. So, but we seem to have kind of moved into the new mode.
A little out of body experience there, I would suspect, just because everything has been so normal for so very long. Now, the July 15th, is that, obviously, it, at this point, it's just for this year. Was that just as if they used a little whiteout and covered up the April and put July in, and everything else is as it was before? Or were there any other changes in addition to the deadline reference?
Well, yeah, there are some other things, but I mean, it is a really big shift because payments initially, the IRS came out and said, hey, we're going to shift some things back. And they looked at June 15th, and then California and some other states came back and said, we're going to go to July 15th. And then the feds said, well, we're going to move some of the dates to July 15th. And there were still a lot of questions. What we didn't know is what would happen, as an example, with IRA contributions, which are kind of statutorily required to be done by April 15th of the year following the tax year. So that, as an example, if for a 2019 IRA contribution, that has to be funded by April 15th of the following year, which would be the 2020, April 15th, 2020. Well, ultimately, those dates, even those dates got shifted back to mid-July, but we kept kind of looking at some of these bogeys and saying, "Now wait a minute, you know, what happens if some things are moved but not everything?" And ultimately, really, things, you know, all those things were moved, and that includes payments, which is really kind of an interesting thing, and it's going to create some interesting pressure in July, because what's happened is if you had a balance due with your tax return due April 15th, you don't have to pay it till July 15th. If you had a first quarter estimated tax payment due April 15th, you don't have to pay that to July 15th. If you had a second quarter tax payment that's due June 15th, it's now due July 15th. So you can see that for people who whose 2019 income maybe was a little up from the year before, or was up significantly, and they owed some money for 2019, and then their quarterly estimated tax payments are going to be due, there's going to be a cash crunch when it comes to July if they aren't planning for it.
Yeah, I suppose planning is the biggest issue that a lot of businesses have got. I heard a stat, or read a stat, a number of weeks ago. I've been quoting it, so obviously if I quote it more than three times, it's the truth, right?
Right.
That the average small business, and I did not see a comparable for individuals, but the average small business only has 15 days of operating cash available on hand. Does that resonate as close to true?
I think I guess it depends on how you define small business to some degree, because, you know, we define small banks as banks that are under $10 billion in this country, which is pretty big. So it depends on how you define small. But I do think that most smaller businesses, the businesses, the mom and pops, the ones that you know, who have a shop on the plaza in Arcata or in Old Town Eureka or somewhere in Ferndale or whatever, in a lot of cases, there's not a lot of cash that's necessarily available. They've got, in many cases, those businesses have their working capital tied up with their inventory, and so yeah, the cash can be very, very short for certain businesses. And keep in mind, you know, if you
well,
know,
hold it. Keep that in your mind. It's in
okay.
19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KLNS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with noted CPA and interstate traveler Bill McCauley.
Yeah. It's better than interstellar, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to stretch the imagination too far, huh? Wasn't that one of Stan Freeberg's lines?
Yeah.
Yeah. Stretch the imagination up to 15 inches.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, gee. Yeah, yeah. Some of the different challenges that are out there, Bill, do you have any kind of a sense or a read on the individual stimulus package or checks that are coming back to to individual folks? Have most of those landed now? And if they are, I thought I saw something yesterday that said that those aren't going to count against your income for the reporting period of 2020. What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, the stimulus payment, we don't believe will be a taxable receipt, but keep in mind that some people will end up not getting what they were entitled to, and they may that there may be that may get trued up with the income tax return. As we understand it, if an individual receives more with their stimulus, with their recovery rebate or stimulus check or whatever we want to call it, if they receive more than they really would have been entitled to based on a full evaluation of their 2020 return, that's a no harm, no foul is our understanding at this point. And so people will be able to keep that. There won't be some negative adjustment in their tax return according to that. On the other hand, if somebody did not get what they would have been entitled to, they may get more money when it comes time to file their 2020 tax return. We're still, the problem with a lot of what's going on, whether it's this or the SBA programs, et cetera, is things are very fluid. And so as we move along, we're running into situations where we just have to tell people, this is what we know today. In some cases, it's changing daily. And based on that, we don't know exactly where we're going to be. And so it does make it's a little frustrating from our end sometimes, because it's hard for us to give the advice we want to give that somebody is definitely going to be able to be able to use and count on. And so it's a challenging time as somebody who does provide some advice, and it's a difficult time for people who are trying to make decisions.
Yeah, I would think the advisory or the counseling thing that's really, a week-to-week proposition, just because things are so fluid.
Yeah, and sometimes it's day by day. Sometimes it's even hour. It's been hour by hour where things are changing that rapidly. When I know Jennifer Budwig was on last month, and she talked about the PPP program and the rollout that she was involved with, and all those kinds of issues. And that program continues. They post daily, or almost it feels like daily, new frequently asked questions, which provide additional information. In some cases, it's different than what the understanding people are operating with before. And so it's just been a very difficult window. On the other hand, imagine if you're the IRS or the SBA, and you're shorthanded. We're told the IRS has mail stacked up in trucks, but they don't have they don't have enough people to go through it. So I mean, think about how difficult it is for people who are operating an essential business and are handicapped versus people who are unable to operate their business and all the challenges they're facing, and then the people, the governments and not-for-profits that are trying to respond. It's just an extraordinarily difficult time, and people are working hard, doing the best they can, but it's not easy.
Yeah, I suppose that's the biggest challenge, the fact that it is so fluid, and people are looking for black and white answers, and they really don't exist yet.
No, they don't. And, circling back on, the SBA's Paycheck Protection Program, people are, we've got clients who are asking us questions about, okay, how does this other side of it work, that, the money went out as a loan, but it's potentially can be forgiven if it's used for specific purposes. And so, we've got clients asking us, okay, how do we account for that? And it's very difficult to tell them with any level of specificity and certainty that gee, we're giving you the right information. And so we're constantly saying, look, this is going to change, and hang loose. But you can only hang loose so long when you're on an 8-week program in terms of how the money is supposed to be spent, and that part's really difficult.
I think a lot of us we were fortunate and got in early and talking with Jennifer and some of the others, and we were able to get that. The way that was executed by a number of banks, I know that there's been some whiplash, but now as we're in the middle of this cycle for some of us that were funded early on, that 8 weeks and what is defined and what isn't defined and percentages and ratios, it's kind of like you need to have a CPA on your side.
Yeah, you do, and or you need to have some. You do need help, probably, in a lot of cases. And the challenge is, does your advisor know enough to give you definitive answers? And the answer to that question right now is no. They know enough to maybe say this is what we think it's going to be based on what we're reading and what our understanding of the intent of the program is. But as an example, there's some calculations for employees, and if you've got a drop in the number of full-time equivalents, that has a bearing. Anyway, the whole computation is very difficult to make. There have been some examples out there, but none of them are authoritative. And there are a number of interest groups, I know from the banking side of things as well as from the accounting side of things, who are kind of pleading for, hey, we need more information. But at this point, that's not to say that the information that's been provided is utterly inadequate. It's just not complete, and that's a problem. So I don't want to bang on people who are trying to do a very difficult job in a very short window of time. But on the other hand, you know, the flip side of it is, if you're a business owner and you need to make some decisions about what your payments are, what you're going to pay and how you're going to structure it, it should be nice to know.
You need some direction. Yeah, it's 8:30.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. I never say the company name. You want to say the company name?
It's a mouthful. DeMello McCauley McReynolds and Holland.
See, I knew I thought there were L's after that too, but that's okay.
Yeah. LLP.
It's Taco Tuesday, so we don't have to worry about it. Everybody's L something today. Yeah. Don't open that window. Just allow me to slide right in there.
No, I'm gonna let you just be on your own there.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humple Termite and Pest Control in Murphy's Markets. Billy, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there with the updates for those who are in business and they're shuttered now or they're running a really light skeletal shell. Are there things that you would recommend that they start to look at for folks who have been furloughed? Are there things that they need to start seriously considering here in the next little bit as California starts to position towards Friday and the general lifting, at least for some business categories, with the shelter in place?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things for people to be thinking about right now. In terms of employees, it's really an interesting time because there are many employees who are on unemployment at this point, and they're getting an extra $600 a week on unemployment, and that may make them, in some cases, less excited about coming back to work. And so there's going to be some interesting challenges in employment. There's going to be interesting challenges in terms of just the basic structure of operating a business under these guidelines. When the things hit and we got the shelter in place order, we discontinued any face-to-face meetings in our office. We kept the doors open, but we encouraged clients to use a drop slot and tried to reduce the traffic in our building to a bare minimum because we do payroll and some other things and help clients comply, and so therefore we were considered to be essential and needed to remain open. We chose to do that by not going remote, but by working here. But we also tried to, enforce social distancing, and now we have requirements for masking and other things, and all those things are require some thought in order to implement them in our various businesses. And If a person's been shuttered, if a business has been shut down for a bit, that, you know, those are issues that you know, maybe the business operator has thought about, but hasn't necessarily fully run through all the ramifications of those of the available choices to them. And so anyway, I think just some of the basic fundamentals of how do you handle some of those types of issues, some of the access issues, and some of the distancing issues. Those are all real, and they do require some thought.
Now, I had heard or was told yesterday that the state of California had run out of unemployment dollars and was having to apply to the federal government for additional funding. Is that true?
I don't know if that's true, but it wouldn't surprise me. I think state of California they're going to have a real cash crunch like everybody else, because they're spending money. There's a lot of furloughed state employees that are out there in their, furloughed school employees who are being funded by ADA and other things. There's a lot of people out there who are still continuing to be paid, but the services are diminished in terms of what's being furnished. So it's going to be, and not only that, the income stream in terms of certain payments to the government has been curtailed because people have said, hey, we're going to give you more time. We're going to let you hold on to more of your cash during this window. And so people, eventually those streams will open up again. Now, whether the volume is going to be commensurate with what was there before, I would seriously question that. I think you're going to see, as an example, in California, a lot of individuals pay estimated tax payments, but I think there's going to be a lot of taxpayers who are assuming their income's going to be down for 2020, and they're not going to pay as much as they were paying before. And California, as a state, is its budget is highly dependent upon income tax revenues, which go up and down based upon the economy. And so I think California's going to have some really difficult challenges to overcome from a cash flow standpoint.
Well, yeah, throw on top of that then retail sales tax, transit occupancy tax, and gas tax.
Yeah,
there's a lot of discretionary that isn't being discretionary right now.
Exactly. And so you look at all the things that drive the California economic engine, and how many of them are kind of shut down right now? A lot. And those are going to be, and they're not going to, and just because you open up the faucet a little bit, that isn't going to, that doesn't mean you're going to have a gusher.
I think there are a lot of places in Oklahoma and Texas that found that out.
Yeah.
KINS. It's 8:40.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, so what do you see out there for Q3 and Q4, the second half of the calendar year, as things loosen up a little bit, as whatever the new becomes the routine? Do you see a pent-up demand? Do you see just gradual return to whatever the next level of definition that normal is? What do you tell folks?
I think that, first of all, whatever I think is my own Ouija here, because I'm not an economist, and I'm basing it on just my own sense of the things. I think it's going to be a tough slog. I think it's going to take a while to come back, because I think in terms of if you think about restaurants and hotels and airline travel and all those things, they're going to be a challenge. Some people will embrace that and say, hey, I'm not worried about it. Other people are going to be very worried about it. And so, it just depends. And you know, I think, we probably all know people on every side of the coin here in terms of, how they're looking at it. I think that probably that it's just going to be a tough go. And I think it's going to be a tough go at the government side, on the revenue side for governments. I think it's going to be a tough go for businesses to weather the startup and be able to. But I also think it's something, I think it's something we'll do. There's going to be casualties, though. And there's going to be casualties in the business world because they're just not going to have the resources to be able to run their business at a low idle instead of, at its normal pace. So I think it's going to be challenging, very, very challenging.
Do you think there's going to be a reset for a lot of businesses as they go line item by line item, or do you think that that's already happened and now what they're looking at is far more draconian kinds of decisions?
I think the businesses, I think there's some businesses are going to be just fine. They're going to do as they, nearly as what they've always done before. But you know, I think when you start looking at, if you're a law practice and all of a sudden, you're catering to certain business customers, well, I think, things are going to be a little different. Maybe for an accounting practice, things are going to be different. Banks and, whether people are placing radio advertising and all those things, I think things are going to be different. I think it's going to be a slower go. So I do think we have to recalibrate our businesses to be able to operate, efficiently in the face of, reduced volumes and new challenges, even when we're operating. I just think it's going to be more expensive to operate, and it's not going to be as profitable, probably.
So what is the one key number that folks should be looking at to monitor to see how things are going?
Well, I think the employment numbers are going to be pretty key in terms of, what happens when, as we open up and what happens to the roles of unemployed. I think those are going to be pretty significant because if people aren't working, government benefits do eventually dwindle. And so, I think that's probably where my eyes will be.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for spending a little bit of time with us. Hopefully you'll get a little bit of a respite here before July the 15th sneaks up on you. And remember always, blueberry cheesecake is always welcome.
Perfect.
All right. Thanks, bud.
All right. Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.